All right, Psalms 71. Psalm 71. This one kind of goes with the whole nursing home ministry and a psalm of David's old age, really. Psalm 71. And we were singing at the nursing home today, and one of the ladies, she was like getting into it. She was just, man, she was, Oh, yeah. Yeah. We got some, you know, you sing some of the old familiar Jesus Loves Me and things like that, and there's a lot of folks that remember that. They may not remember much else, but they remember that. And that's a blessing. Real good. Psalm 71. Notice in this psalm the amount of times that David mentions that he's going to praise God continually, and just the outpouring of what's been going on with him. It's going to come out of his mouth and what the Lord's been doing. And just a note here. So you get to Psalm 72, and that's the end of the first hymnal, I guess you could say. It's like the first set of songs in the Psalms total here. Well, not Psalm 72, this is maybe the second one. But Psalm 72 is the last psalm of David. That you'll see that at the end of Psalm 72, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. And so it's kind of followed the course of his life. And so you get to the Psalm 71, 72, and it's not only the last psalms David's writing, but it's also the end of his life. And so these things go hand in hand. But just notice this, because this is kind of the theme. David is getting old, and he knows he's getting ready to pass on there. In verse 6, at the end of verse 6, just notice how many times he says this, praising God continually, or letting the praise come out of his mouth. He says in verse 6, at the end of verse 6, my praise shall be continually of thee. Then look in verse 8. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. And look in verse 14, end of verse 14. Well, verse 14 says, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. And then verse 15, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. Verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. So the things that he wants to come out of his mouth are just praise toward God. Verse 17, end of verse 17 says, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Verse 18, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation. Then verse 22, I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. Verse 23, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. Verse 24, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. So you get the idea of what he's talking about here. David is just like outpouring, and he wants the things coming out of his mouth to be praise toward God, and he's genuinely thankful, genuinely grateful. He's had a lot of trouble in life. He's faced opposition. He's faced enemies. He's brought some things on himself, but for the most part, he hasn't. And just serving God, loving God, and now at the end of his life, he wants the end of his life to be as precious to the Lord and as praiseworthy to the Lord as his his beginning and all that. So let's pray, and we're gonna look at this psalm through that theme, the praise in David's old age here. But let's pray first. Father, thank you so much for these words. Thank you for an opportunity to go to the nursing home today, to go door knocking, all that's gone on today. Just been a busy day. But I pray the folks that got tracts, got Bibles, would read them. We don't have any idea what situations in life they'll be facing in a few months, but to pray that folks would remember what they've heard today. Thinking about Waldo and talking to him, and just a man with a lot of stories and a veteran, and but not saved, but very much seemed like a God-fearing man. But what I pray, he'd read the Bible that I gave him and go through those verses. And then for all the other folks that received tracts and Bibles and a testimony, I pray they'd hear it. They would remember those things. I pray you'd get your word out continually through us. And Father, thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for everybody that's here tonight. I really pray you'd bless each soul for being here. I kind of feel like I don't have a lot of stuff on this psalm tonight. I just feel like we just a lot going on today, and just need help. And so I pray that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit to minister and to help the folks that are here to get fed by you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so David says a couple things. In verse 9, he says, "Cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth." That's where he's at. Then down in verse 18, we read it. I'll read it again, though. It says, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come." So David is a very willing vessel to be used by God. He loves the Lord. As you know, the Lord said he had a heart after, David's heart was after God's own heart and all that. But just notice some of the circumstances where praise comes out. I was listening to a preacher the other day, and he was talking about a fellow that used to pastor, and he started coming to his church, and he'd been there for a while, and his wife had died, but he'd sit on the front row, and he would amen, and you know, just kind of encourage and all that. And then he had a stroke, and he couldn't really move his mouth, or his eyes just stayed open, and he would sit there on the front row, still sit there on the front row, and his mouth was just open, just like that. And his eyes are open like that, so he's just kind of like that, and you'd hear him. He said you'd hear him every so often, still trying to praise God. That's David. At the end of his life, trying to make sure the stuff that comes out of his mouth is still good. Trying to make sure that what the Lord has done with him is going to be passed on to other people. So let's look at these just with that in mind. Verse 6. He says, "By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee." I think about praise in the context here. He's talking about, you know, as a baby. And it led me to think about Jesus Christ saying, "Out of the mouth of babes thou hast perfected praise." Jesus Christ said one time, he said, "Unless you be converted and be like a little child, you're not going to receive what God has for you. And the idea is, if you're not willing to allow God to be your father, that's the idea. I mean, you be converted and become like a little child who needs a father, who looks to God as a father, and this is how you're going to have to approach God. But the Lord Jesus Christ, in fact, I'll read it to you. It's Matthew 21:6 is where he talks about out of the mouth of babes. But Matthew, I'll just read this one to you. Matthew chapter 21. I think this is it. Maybe I'm in the wrong place here. This doesn't look right. Just out of the mouth of babes, he says, thou hast perfected praise. Maybe I'm looking at, maybe it's 16. 16, there it is. Jesus says, verse 16, Matthew 21:16. He said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. And David, back over here in Psalm 71:6, he says, you know what, you took me out of my mother's womb, and as a child, and the very first thing he says, thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels, my praise shall be continually of thee. So David, in this psalm, if you just watch it, he's going to deal with several circumstances in life, from the cradle all the way to the grave, and he says, Lord, let praise come out of my mouth here in this situation, and then as I get older and I don't have any more strength, you know, my health is failing, still let praise come out of me. So he starts from the cradle all the way back to as a baby, verse 6. Then he says in verse 7, I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. So there's a time, and David, he was really put through the ringer, but many times in his life, he was just strange to people. Just people couldn't, either he was... He was, for instance, I remember with Michael, when the ark comes back and his wife, Michael, and he's just dancing with joy, and she's kind of like, you need to calm this down a little bit. You're a little excited about this. And I know David's just like, what, is there anything else to be excited about? And it's just, he was strange to his wife sometimes, and then to the people sometimes. I mean, he was hated by a lot of folks, but he said this, I'm as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Lord, I trust you. You're the one I hide in. And then he says in verse 8, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. So you've gone from as a baby, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Now David is in a time in his life where he is not accepted by everybody. He's kind of an oddball, but he says, you know what, Lord, you are my refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise. So here's what to think about that, just as an application. Over in Hebrews, the Bible talks about the sacrifice of praise. You know, when it's not convenient, when it's not, it doesn't seem appropriate. It doesn't seem appropriate to praise God. It just on the circumstantial level, it just doesn't seem like there should be praise coming out of someone. Yet, here's somebody in the midst of trouble, and yet praise is, that's what's coming out of David. I mean, we've gone through several of these Psalms, and you know and I know, most of these psalms are written under tremendous trouble. It's just trouble. And he's writing these praises to God. He's trying to magnify the righteousness of God. He's trying to uphold the Lord and trust in the Lord and rely on the Lord and make the Lord his rock. And it's just, it's the sacrifice of praise, you know. And I know you understand it. It's one thing to praise God when everything's good, but how about when things aren't good? That's the sacrifice of praise. That's David. David understands both sides of this thing. Then in verse, you can skip down to verse, we'll read these verses. Look in verse 9. Cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth. I would say this just about David. The rest of this, 9, 10, 11, all that, David understands he is coming to the end, and he knows. Here's something to understand. David knows this ministry that he has was never about him. He understands I'm coming to the end, but that no more changes the strength of God in any way. Now my body is failing, but that in no way changes the power of God in this. And so he understands the ministry that he has, it's coming to an end, but it was never really about David anyway. It was about upholding the Lord God of Israel and making him magnified in the people's hearts and minds of the nation and nations round about. And that was what it was about. And so David says, cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth, knowing full well my strength is failing. But that doesn't mean God's strength is failing. That doesn't mean this ministry or the magnification of God Almighty in the hearts and minds of the people needs to fail. Verse 10, for mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him, persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. So he appears weak. It reminds me of, you guys remember last week we talked about the giants and the men that came and helped David when he started to fight, and he was getting old, and he went out to battle and he tried to fight and just couldn't do what he did before. And then he had some help. The younger men showed up and they took on the giants and the armies there and beat him and all that stuff. And then some other men showed up and took out some more giants and all that kind of stuff. And David had left this legacy. And so, but in that time frame, these enemies looked at David and they said, you know, he's weak. Now we can go get him. Now we can knock out the light of Israel, so to speak. But David's begging God not to let that happen. Don't allow that to happen. Verse 12, he said, O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. Now here's the verse. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. Here's David. I don't know when I'm going to die. I know it's soon, but I don't know when. Just, Lord, just allow me. Please allow me what comes out of my mouth to be praise, to be magnification of your righteousness and your salvation. And let the people know, let the people hear, even in my unhealthy, dying condition, let the people hear your praise out of my mouth. Verse 17, and notice he mentions this righteousness, thy righteousness, talking about God's righteousness in verse 17 or 15, and then in verse 16, make mention of thy righteousness. That's God's righteousness. All the way back in verse 2, he talked about deliver me in thy righteousness. This is what David is concerned with. Verse 17. It says, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. Hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. So in David's old age here, he says, Lord, let me continue to be a teacher of God's righteousness. Let me continue to be a voice, someone who points to the Lord's salvation. There's still, get as much use out of this vessel as you can, Lord. So let me show you a New Testament equivalent to this. So here's David, the older man, getting ready to die, and this is his concern. Now look over here in Titus chapter 2. Here's what Paul says about getting older. And how the Lord will use folks who have matured, who have gotten older, and now they can't run as fast as they could, they can't jump as high as they could, all that stuff. But here's Paul's instruction about God being honored in the aged. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So here's an instruction for the aged, so that I'm old enough now, or I'm too old now to be of any use to God. The instruction is, and David's concern is, he wants to still be of use to God. Paul's instruction is let the aged men do this, let the aged women do this, so that the word of God isn't blasphemed among the nations, among other people, and let those that have experience in life pass this down to a younger generation. Teach them how to do this. Teach them how to do these things instead of being busybodies and talking about other folks. Teach the younger ones. Use this time wisely. It's interesting, just to note, he mentions sound doctrine here. And let's see, I think that's verse 1. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And then he describes behaviors, how people should act in their older age, and how Christians should maintain a testimony as they get older. So there's some instruction in the New Testament. David is just as concerned about that. He wants to be able to pass on, staying still to a younger generation. So back over here in Psalm 71, this is real. I love this. I love seeing New Testament things in the Old Testament. Look at this. In verse 19, Psalm 71, 19. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hast done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Now, let me just ask you, what does that sound like to you? Do it. Sounds like a resurrection, doesn't it? That sounds like David knows, I'm going into the ground, Lord, and I am looking forward to you taking me out of it. I am looking forward to it. Now, I'm not saying David understands Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection, but he certainly understands a resurrection. Abraham understood a resurrection. Job understood a resurrection. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Now watch what David says about this. 21. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. That's that's what happens in death. The body drops, gone. Paul would say it this way. He says to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And then he says further, we are willing to be absent from the body. Some of us more willing than others. We just want to be absent. We're just tired of these bodies. In verse 22, I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lip. Now, keep all this in mind. You've got a resurrection in verse 20. Who is the Holy One of Israel in verse 22? It's Jesus Christ. Now, David doesn't know who Jesus Christ is, but when Jesus Christ shows up, one of the things that's said about him is, you're the Holy One of Israel. In fact, the devils, they have a conversation with Jesus Christ. They say, we know who you are. You're the Holy One. So David knows of the Holy One of Israel. He just doesn't know who he is. And then notice what he ties in with this Holy One. Verse 23, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast, what? Redeemed. Wow. That's minus the name Jesus Christ, that's pretty good New Testament theology. Minus the name of Jesus Christ, but you know who the Holy One of Israel is. You know David's looking forward to a resurrection in verse 20. You know he mentions this with redemption in verse 23. This is pretty good, a pretty good understanding of God for someone who doesn't know who Jesus Christ is. So I love seeing these things in the Old Testament. It just reinforces the fact that the Holy Spirit of God knew what he was doing when he was having these scriptures penned. He knew hundreds, thousands of years before Jesus Christ showed up, and then all of these things pointing to the work of Jesus Christ, and then of course here there's the work of Jesus Christ, and now, you know, we know of it because we're after that. But whoever was writing this Bible had some understanding of what was going to happen. The men didn't fully understand how. I mean, he even says in Peter the prophet's desire to look into this. But these examples are, I just love reading these things. David says, thou shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Verse 21. Verse 22, I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. That's the thing. The soul, the redemption of the soul. That's what you're looking for. The redemption of the soul. The law could never do that. The law would never do that. Verse 24. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness. That's God's righteousness all the way through this thing. My tongue shall also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. In all of these psalms, well, not, I don't know if all of them, but a good many of them, it's almost like David at the beginning, he has this description of God, then he has in the middle some prayer requests or some things that he would like done, and then at the end of it, it's almost like it's done. So he says in verse 24, my tongue also shall talk of all thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. It's almost like prayer's been answered. And in most of these psalms, that's kind of the format. It's like, here's a description of who God is to me in this situation. here's my prayer request, and here's the answer to my prayer request. And so David's, over and over in the psalm, it's just a psalm of praise and in old age here with David. He is desirous to be fruitful unto the very end. And he loves the Lord, and the Lord honors that. The Lord honors that. I'd say this. Today we went to the nursing home, and we got to talk to a fella that he was a Vietnam vet, and he was in demolition. He was in demolition, and he was talking about some of the chemicals they used had messed up his lungs, and so he's on a breathing thing and trying to, you know, talk through breaths and all that kind of stuff. And he has, when we're talking, he's going over these stories, and that's one of the things that I enjoy about nursing home ministry is you can hear some good stories. They got people, these folks have lived life, and they got stuff. If you'll listen, I mean, they've got some things about their lives that are just sometimes pretty incredible. And I think, you know, if I was in a position like that, I would love to have some folks do some church services for me. That'd be nice. But just talking to him, his name's Waldo, and he was telling me about being a demolition man and how he had survived, and obviously, and he had served with some men. One of them was a Medal of Honor recipient who died. We talked a little bit, and mainly he talked, you know, just listened, and he talked. And it's sad in the one hand, because he's not saved, but he definitely has a fear of God. And so I gave him a Bible, I showed him some verses, and after he had talked, and it was clear we were going to kind of have to wrap it up, there, get ready to eat and all that stuff. And But I got to thinking about, you know, David's writing and folks in the nursing home, because that's where we are, and all that kind of thing. And it's just, the Lord wants to use David, and David wants him to use him, even to the very, very end of his life. There's some great, I don't know, some great testimonies from people who are dying and encouraging things. I can't think of a real good one right now, but I know I've read many. Anyhow, this is David. And like I said, chapter 72 of Psalms, at the end it says, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. And it's almost like David's life has been cataloged. But not just David's life. It's really things that will point to the Lord Jesus Christ, even though he's not known by name at this point in time. But David's life has been kind of cataloged through these 72 psalms, and now here we are at the end, and David's at the end of his life. And so it kind of, you can kind of follow that